Blog Talk Radio.
Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Yeah, shout out to Sad J. Dog, we gonna make a way. Now sit back and listen to these bars I'm about to say. Hit the button, young, and get loose on that beat. We get it in the booth like we get it in the street. Yup, good night, hit him up like good morning, good evening. Best believe I tell you a story, you better believe it. If the world was in our palms, we break it in pieces. We a different kind of animal, take it or leave it. Heart frozen, cold blooded, we belong in a freezer. We hotter than the Bahamas on the beach with a heater. Yeah, call me Mr. Popular, can't see me with binoculars. Shout out to the haters and everybody who knocking us. Steady J got interviews, intermission and interludes. The baddest model chicks and the real rap spitting dudes. R&B and gospel and all of the above. And it's all on one show and it fits like a glove on the
Life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Steady J, what's good, my dude? You keep doing what you're doing, fam. Keep showing love to all us unsigned artists, man. Good things gonna come back to you, homie. I salute you, B. Life after dust. Y'all now tuned in. Holla.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Life After Dust Live. I am your host, Eddie J. And then it's another beautiful episode of the show, and it's another installment of this week's Women's Literacy Week. And Women's Literacy Week is basically a week where we are taking time out to highlight different female authors and storytellers. And today we got another very great and talented one, and that is my good friend Miss Erica Mills Hollis. We'll be talking to her in a moment. And some of the pieces that she's put out so far, which is something you definitely got to check out, especially if you have a teen daughter, get it for them. One, which I thought this was very, very, I like how this is laid out, which is 365 daily inspirations and quotes for the fascinating teen girl. I actually learned that 356 for the leap year, so that was a good one. And then as well as The Dreams Altered But Not Abandoned. So she has a lot of her stories are based around, you know, gearing teen girls up to, you know, live more productive lives than just a certain problems they go through every day and whatnot. So we'll chop it over her here in a moment to tell us more from her perspective. So let's go check and see who we got in the phone line. All right, we got you on Life of the Dust Live, your boy Steady J. Who is this?
This is Erica.
What's up? Glad to have you in the building.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just watch the debate, and of course, you know, I'm glad to be doing this show because it was like watching a boxing match today versus the last one was, you know, it was more okay, let me fill you out type of thing. But today it was a boxing match.
I agree. It was really awesome. I agree.
Yeah. So But yeah, before we get into that, because I'll be on that all day too. You know, actually got a chance to meet you at the 4th annual DFW Literacy Fest, and you know, definitely great to see what you're doing as far as with your stories and whatnot. And it's something that, you know, it's something positive. Like the one book that actually my dad actually is getting, 365 daily inspirations and quotes for the fascinating teen girl. I thought that was very interesting because, you know, something positive for, you know, especially in today's society, it's real hectic, and you, that's the problems that arise to teen girls are just getting worse and worse and worse. And it's just good to see there's a book not only engaging them to read every day, but also giving them something positive to read every day.
Right. I agree. Thank you.
So as far as, like, we're going to go backwards in time. Starting with, what actually led you into becoming an author?
Well, with the first book, I was a teen mom myself, and so I wanted to be able to reach out to the new teen moms because there are a lot of resources out there that we didn't have when I was younger, and a lot of these girls didn't know about them. And I just want to let them know that, you know, the road is altered, like their dreams are about to be altered, but they're not abandoned. So what led me to do that is I was driving down the street one day, and I was passing El Centro College, and I saw a young girl. She couldn't have been no more than 17. Looks like she was getting ready to register for school. She had a stroller with a baby, and she was pregnant, and she had her backpack with her books. And I saw that girl, and I was like, that's what these other teen moms need to see, that, you know what, she got caught up, but she's still moving forward. She's still pushing. She's still trying to get her education. And they need to see that, okay, just because you had a setback don't mean you stay there. And so that's why I wrote the book, just to give them encouragement and to show them how to be great mommies, you know, because society tells them that, you know, you're not going to be a great mommy. You know, you're a teen mom. You don't know anything about raising a child. So I want to let them know that you can be a great mom in spite of what society says.
And that's what happens, because they got shows like MTV Teen Mom, 16 and pregnant, so then you watch that, you know, they got those kind of images in their head.
Exactly. And these girls are getting paid, like, on Teen Mom and 16 and pregnant, so it's not reality, you know. They have their struggles, but at the end of the day, they're still getting paid for their struggle. So that's not reality for our girls here.
And as far as they, now, like you said, the reality on there is just so much different than what it really is for her teen moms. And you were also making a point that, you know, it's no more excuse anymore. You know, what I gotta say is too, like for instance, the girl that was pushing a stroller down the street and she had a book bag and stuff. When I look at girls like that, it makes me want to slap myself in the face, because sometimes I'm like, man, she can do all this stuff. Then why have I? No, there's, you know, I've had a lot of great accomplishments too. Certain things I should not have no excuse of why I haven't done to finish them yet.
Right, and we all have that issue. So don't feel bad. We all have that issue.
Yeah.
You know?
So I look at myself, I'm like, what's my excuse?
But you're doing well. You're doing well. So don't come down too hard on yourself.
Oh, no. Everything happens the way it's supposed to. But,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Going on to further, and like you're saying, like, dreams alter but not abandoned. And you say basically, like, that's one of the things that helped inspire you to write this as well. Like, as far as what's some of the other stuff that you want people to get out of this particular book?
Out of Dreams Altered? Just that, you know, well, one thing, I'm not condoning the teen pregnancy, first of all, because I get a lot of flack, but I'm not condemning them either because they're getting enough, you know, backlash. But just encouraging because, you know, the statistics are so high for African-American young girls, like teen pregnancy. It's so high. The rates are too high. I mean, they're coming down, but they still exist. So I want this book to eventually, you know, not be needed anymore. you know, because I want, you know, this group of teen girls to learn and be educated enough to talk back to other young teen girls before they have the chance of getting pregnant, you know what I mean, just kind of encouraging them. So it's mainly just an encouragement to keep going. Don't get, you know, complacent. Just move forward. It's just a temporary setback. So that's the main, that was the main issue, main thing I wanted to get out there, was just to encourage and motivate and keep going.
I'm gonna throw a tough curveball at you as far as, you know, cause, you know, one thing that drives me nuts, not coming across some women, like, you know, you're like, why don't you ever, no, like I'll just be I'll talk about it in, like, an innocent way, like a guy trying to go up to a girl and he's trying to introduce his friends to, man, we ain't girls, you been here, no homegirls or whatnot. And then her first answer is she doesn't really hang around girls. And, you know, even though some people just think, oh, you just think about that as far as how I met people, but no, on another note is, do you think a lot of the problems, the reason why we have all these problems is because women aren't talking to women?
You talking about as far as the teen pregnancy goes?
As far, well, not just as far as teen pregnancy as a whole. Sometimes because some issues that women have, they're so, I don't really hang around women, so I don't really like talking to them about my struggles. Gee, that plays a part in why sometimes they go through more turmoil than they need to.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does, yeah, because society now, people are so judgmental on everybody. You know what I mean? So, and of course, there's a myth out there that women are just so catty and just like, oh, no, you know, I'm not going to tell them my issue because, you know, they're going to put me down. They're going to tell somebody else. So that has something to do with it here, you know, as far as teen pregnancy and other social issues or whatever. But we just got to stop, you know, for lack of a better word, hating on each other, you know, and just encourage everybody.
And a girl
needs to have a good girlfriend. I'm not gonna lie. It's great to have a girlfriend who's like a sister to you that has your back and who, you know, you can talk to and all that stuff. That's awesome.
Because then again, it goes back to the TV thing again. Yet again, when they look when they turn the TV, half the stuff, especially African American women, half the stuff is on TV is women being catty. You said being catty. Go mind turns back saying things.
Right.
That's my wife. And they
right.
They say things about, like, you know, he just, and like, and then it's like, huh? And then this person saying, hey, this, and then they go behind it. And, you know, it's when they see that every day, they think it's acceptable. But they're like, hey, these women are getting paid and they're hiring up the quote unquote hiring their position. So, that must be the way to do it. Don't trust any women because you don't know how they're going to be.
Right.
I know. I got common sense. I know better than that.
Right. And the thing about the TV, like all these shows that we have now, I mean, it's reality TV. Yeah, a lot of it's real. There is backstabbing and everything, you know, everywhere. But a lot of that stuff is fake. I hate to say it, but it is. But that shouldn't be our role model for our girls, our young girls today. And I'm not putting anybody down, but no, there's too many other women out there that are, you know, doing awesome things that are just so great that they can, you know, pattern themselves after. Even someone like Michelle Obama, you know, we have so many, you know, great African American women that we can model ourselves after.
Oh, definitely. Now, going to. At least we can go into your next book, and that is 365 Daily Inspirations and Quotes for the Fascinating Teen Girl. Now,
yeah.
Kind of give us a little bit about what that's about. You know, we kind of have a somewhat of an idea.
Right. So after I completed the first book, I said, what's the next step? I said, well, I need to reach out to all the other teen girls out there who are not moms and who are not pregnant. You know, just something to encourage them, you know, so maybe we can prevent teen pregnancies. And one of the things that's happening in families today is these young girls are not being encouraged. They're not being told how beautiful they are, you know, by their family members. And, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. And society tells them that, okay, maybe you have to be a size 2 or something. And nobody's telling them you're beautiful just the way you are. So I decided 365 days a girl needs to be encouraged and motivated, a young girl. Actually, 366, leap year. And so I put a quote for every day of the year, just something to inspire them, something just to keep them moving forward, just to get past, like, peer pressures and you know, uncertainties of their futures and just afflictions of self-image and things like that, because they're not getting it. And, you know, even though I got it from my mother, I really didn't get it from my father. So the first guy that came along and told me how great I was, I thought I fell in love, you know, because you don't get it, you know, from dad. So you're looking to get it from somewhere else. And that's some of our problems. It's not all of our problems, but it's some of our problems with the issue of teen pregnancy. So I just wanted to do something just to keep these young girls just motivated, just keep moving. You know, you're going to have a great future, you know, just things like that to keep them going.
Right. You mean, and, you know, at least you said something that kind of leads to a point, like, about, you know, women hearing and stuff. And sometimes, because some of them have their guard up so much and they've been so misled so many times, mm-hmm. when a guy is genuinely not trying to hide them and just saying that they're beautiful, you know, it's hard for them to hear because it's like, oh, this guy just trying to run game. And so, you know, that's one big problem that happens a lot too with women is some of them get this barrier up that they feel like when that's been told to them, that it was just some cute game has been saying to them that
right. They
don't know what to believe in anymore.
Right, but for a teenage girl, she needs to have her guard up. It's a little bit different when you're an adult. You know, but for a teenage girl, her priorities have to be, you know, set. She has to keep her focus. So when it comes to, you know, the young man, her guard needs to be up. And vice versa, even with, you know, guys, I think their guard should be up too, teenage boys, when it comes to girls, because their focus needs to be on something totally different.
So definitely, you know, and I put myself, you know, people know me. And I tell you on other radio shows and whatnot, and don't care, would say all day long, you know, I mean, a lot of people look at me because I was a guy and I was on the football team and this, that, and the other, and assumed that, you know, I had lost my virginity when I was in high school and whatnot. I didn't until I was 20 years old, and every time I told somebody that, they would look at me like I'm like the last Mohican or something, like, you didn't see your what?
But, you know, that's awesome. That's great. You know, of course, I wasn't thinking that way when I was a teenage girl, of course, but that is awesome. And you know what? You know, Sadie, it's so funny because on my wedding night, I felt horrible. I didn't tell my husband that, but I felt horrible because I couldn't give him a gift that nobody else had ever had. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? So looking, hindsight is crazy, but I was like, wow. I don't regret having my son, but I just, like, I should have waited, you know? I should have waited. But we don't see that when we're young. So that's awesome that, you know, you didn't lose your virginity when you were a teenager. That's great.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm not saying it was easy for you,
but
it's awesome.
I get it wrong. It was very hard. I feel like that. But no, I mean, it's going to more deep into the points and stuff too. Like we're saying, like people need to have their guards up. But then, you know, how do you find a way to transition? You know, once you're going from being a teenager and now becoming a young woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, just. A young girl just has to know who she is, you know, because that's the thing. When they're so young and they're dealing with, you know, sex and stuff like that, they don't know who they are yet. So they don't know how to, you know, let their guard down to, because, you know, they're still naive. You know, so if you wait and just figure out who you are, who you really are, you know what you like, what you can accept, and you can kind of see past things a little bit. But it doesn't happen that way once, you know, we start breaking our virginity and then having kids at a young age, and then you go through so much that you shouldn't even have to be going through that your guard is automatically up because there's so much, you know, turmoil that you've been through. So it takes a little bit of time, but I didn't find out who I really was until I turned 30, you know, because I had been through, I was a mother so young, so it wasn't about me anymore. It was just about taking care of baby, trying to get finished with school, trying to get a great job. I didn't know who I was. So that's the part when I say putting up your guard when you're a teenager, just have that time to figure out who you are. And then once you know who you are, you know who you can be with because, you know, you won't be allow yourself to be treated any certain way, and you know if it's for real or if it isn't. You know what I mean?
So here's a personal question to go into okay. more. What would you say was probably being a teen mom? What would you say was probably the most negative thing that was either said or done to you?
The most negative thing that was said was, oh, she's not going to do nothing. She's not going to be nobody now. And, of course, that came, like, in school, like, from other people in school, women in the church, you know, because you get looked down on, you know, just people look at you just like you're horrible, especially then. Now it's a little bit different because it's like, you know, it's just so common now. But then it was like, yeah, she's not going to do anything with her life. She's not going to be anybody. So that was the most negative thing I've had to deal with.
And on the flip side, what's the most positive thing that happened to you during that time as well?
My son. He's the most positive thing that came out of that whole situation. I didn't thank God for my mother because I didn't know how to be a mother. But as I started learning and, you know, and us being together and me raising him and me still trying to raise myself, you know, it brought about a closeness. You know, between us. So,
definitely.
Yeah, that's the most positive thing out of that.
All right, so from Precious Heart Publishing, what can we expect next to come out of the camp?
I have 5 children's books in production, and I'm working on my first nonfiction novel.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So you're gonna be a busy beaver.
Yeah, got a lot in store. I can't stop now. I mean, why stop now?
Dun, 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 dun. You got the $6 million, man. We can rebuild up. It's okay now. You already told us you have 5 publications coming out and. A 6th one that's going to be nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say as far as, you can say 5, let's make, I give you a much longer period. What would you say within 10 years, what can we expect within the next 10 years that you see ahead as far as with the publishing company?
In the next 10 years, I hope and pray that my publishing company is booming, that I'm able to publish books from a multitude of different authors with different genres, even some teens. You know, since my beginning began, you know, reaching out to teen girls, but not just teen girls, but just all teens, teen girls and boys. So hopefully I'll just have a major publishing house in Texas.
And an interesting question because, you know, you possibly had to run into some aspiring authors. Have you ever run into any, you know, teenagers that, you know, were wanting to aspire to be authors just because of what they read from you?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. A lot of them. And I know some that are actually writing now that are like, okay, I'm like, okay, finish, just finish and submit it to me. So hopefully soon.
Oh, that'd be crazy. You know, you have a teenager a teen author. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's where you started from. That'd be really neat.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. They're my muse, I should say, my inspiration.
And now, we're gonna move to another. And it's contrary belief. It deals with males too. Whether he won't believe it or not, but it's more prevalent among women. And of course, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Now, as far as the Breast Cancer Awareness What are you like your personal experiences or personal thought process of breast cancer support?
Okay. Well, I have had family members to have breast cancer. I had an aunt to pass away a few years ago with breast cancer, and I have several friends who are actually survivors. And my thought now, like, because it's so, like, major now, I mean, the rate of breast cancer is just rising, cancer, period. But I think now that, I know they say 35, a woman should get her first mammogram at 35, I'm starting to think it needs, the age needs to be lowered, you know, because there are teen girls out there who are actually getting breast cancer now. And I think women need to always make sure they do their breast examinations just to see, because you can't play around with it, you know? And so I really think that age limit needs to be lowered, and women should actually start getting tested in their late 20s. Would you agree?
I totally agree, because, you know, when I actually, because, like, every week we do, we put out a blog on different tips for to prevent breast cancer, and one of the ones we did was on the top 10 chemicals to avoid, and you'd be surprised how much stuff that you have to avoid, because it can help start breast cancer up. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people are very heavy in doing is makeup and fragrances and stuff, and what people don't realize is a lot of that stuff plays a big part in breast cancer. Like, for instance, like something like when you put on some of these deodorants and that whatnot, you're taking them and putting them under your arms or whatnot, and that stuff is, some of those chemicals are seeping into your body, and that plays a big part into it.
Right. Right. It's crazy, and it's, you know what, I'm just, you know, thank God science has come a long way, because back in the day we didn't know that, you know. We didn't know the causes of breast cancer back in the day, or these chemicals could cause this and that. So I guess that's a blessing that science has come so far, and that, you know, we have awareness now what to, you know, look out for and what to be, you know, make sure we can avoid certain things and different products. So that's great.
Definitely. As we come, we have about dos minutos. Go ahead and definitely remind everyone how they can get your books and stuff and keep up with what Precious Hearts Publishing has coming up.
Okay, awesome. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook under Erica Mills Hollis and Precious Heart Publishing. And my website is www.apreciousheart.com. And my books can be found on my website, as well as Amazon and Kindle, and they'll be in Barnes & Noble stores soon. So they just sent me an acceptance letter, so I'm waiting on them to purchase the books so we can get them in the stores. So, I'm social media queen right about now.
it's good, you know, it's not only good, just, it's good to see black women doing their thing. That's something that, you know, especially since a lot of our audience, are African American women, and just to see whenever, you know, these positive influences come onto the show, it's obviously a good look, because they get to see that, hey, all right, that's what's going on. You know, it's another person doing another thing, and you being an author, bosses, models, whatever you want to be, just be positive in what you do and utilize your gift to give back. And definitely with your books, you're not only just entertain, because it's entertainment too, but you're also educating people too. And that's something that you should definitely, no one can ever take that away from you.
Thank you.
So as far as last minute thoughts, if you had to, I'm going to put my thinking music on for you. That would kind of let you know. That would kind of let you know about 30 seconds. That's about 30 seconds there. And I want you to basically give everybody a 30-second commercial of why they should support a Precious Heart Publishing.
Okay. Tell me.
So I'm going to say it. I'm going to play it now.
Do I start now or wait till the music starts?
Yes.
Start now? Okay.
All right, you can start now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would hope people would patronize Precious Heart Publishing because I'm reaching out to teen girls all over because they're our future, and I want to get them educated and get them inspired and motivated to keep moving forward. So maybe these young girls could be our next president or our next CEO, and then they're going to be great moms and great wives. And so the young girls that come after them, they'll have some a great role model, somebody to look after, not just what they see on TV.
Bam! I couldn't say any better myself. All right. I want everyone to let y'all know if y'all missed any parts of the show, or you want to hear it again because you're like, oh man, I gotta hear that again. Obviously, you can check it out many different ways. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/SettyJ, C-E-D-E-Y, letter J. You can search it on iTunes for free. Just type in Life at the Dusk Live and look for the episode that says Women's Literacy Week, author Erica Mills Hollis. And also check it out on DustSpot.com. It's on there, the official website of Life at the Dusk Live. So there you go. And once again, you know, I appreciate you for coming to the show, and it was definitely great meeting you. And you know, that's why we tell people, and like, it doesn't matter what kind of events, network.
Right.
You never know
exactly
who you're going to meet.
Exactly. Just thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. You know, I tell you, know what? See, I'm pressing. I say I'm doing something, I'm going to do it. I remember I told you on that day, I said, I want you on my show. I remember I said that.
You sure did. So I thank you for following through. You came through.
Hey, so I do what I do. Okay, everybody. All right, rolling on out, y'all. Ronnie, and everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, remember, well, there's a J, or well, there's an Erica, or well, there's a you. There is a way. Y'all tune to another episode of Life at the Dusk Live. Your boy, City J. We might not be on 365 days, but the book has 365 inspirations. Well, actually 366, but y'all get my point. We out.